This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to the show. I'm Lee Chui Lin. The arts, the stepchild of most economies, more so in emerging ones, is often seen as an industry standing in the corner or going door to door with a tin cup seeking donations to produce visual products or performances. Some accept this as a necessary tension in the industry. Others do not. The Ministry of Finance and MIPA, or My Performing Arts Agency, a privately owned arts support organisation, BFM itself, StartupMalaysia.org, and with support from Rantai and Project Rabak, are offering entrepreneur workshops to young people who are contemplating stepping into the performing arts. With me are Abubakar bin Haji Jambol, Deputy Director at the National Strategy Unit in the Ministry of Finance, and Izan Satrina Muhammad Salihuddin, founder of MIPA. So, okay, how much in reality is culture and the arts seen as important to the national agenda?
Okay, thanks for the question, Lin. The government is always trying to be fair to everyone, trying to be fair all segments of the society, and this includes also the culture and arts. And however, I must say, Lin, the Ministry of Finance is going to hold this new event called GREAT, we give the opportunity to people who are involving in the creation of entrepreneurship within the performing art chances to get involved in the event. As much as possible, the government would want to accommodate what's really is needed out there in the ecosystem of entrepreneurship. In this regard, I must say that art is also one of the main agenda of the government. Only that, as on behalf of the Ministry of Finance, I cannot tell much on that because there are specific ministry who is looking into the affairs of arts and performing arts. Yeah, maybe Ijan, you want to say something on that?
Oh, wow. Okay, that was unexpected, but okay. I will try and answer that. Yeah. Well, I think we can answer from MIPA's point of view and how we've been observing in general the landscape of the arts. MIPA is just more than 2 years old, and what we do is we bridge the gaps between the private sector, the government sector, and the creative arts industry. How the arts is seen as important to the national agenda, absolutely yes, but I think more can be done for sure. But I think from the government's point of view, there are other sectors that they need to pay attention to in a bigger macro scope. You look into poverty, you look into education issues, there's all these issues first that come to them, and unfortunately we are not as that important compared to the other sectors. So it's like Maslow's hierarchy. Mm-hmm. The arts is really
self-actualization up top.
Yes.
So how much government funding goes into the arts then, especially like historically speaking, looking at our country?
It's rather a difficult question to answer, Lin. I shall admit, because every year, you know, the government channel quite a substantial fund to this MOTEC Ministry of Tourism, Arts and Culture. And definitely, the amount is big, actually, amount is big. The government has always been very supportive to these activities related to performing arts and anything that has got to do with arts. But I'm very sorry, at the moment, I don't have the exact figure, how much the allocation is there from the government to these art activities.
Yeah. And earlier you mentioned ecosystem, and yeah. I think that's a very important word to talk about because, of course, what you want is a sustainable ecosystem whereby, you know, everybody can just thrive on their own. So at the moment then, what is the ideal situation? Would it be for the arts to be able to stand on their own two feet, and what needs to be done to get to that point?
I'll take that question. Yeah. I think in an ideal world, we would need to have a bigger base, a mature audience, better quality of supply, sufficient funding, steady and efficient policies and infrastructure. So we're not there at all. I think Malaysia spends about less than ₱500 million every 5 years for the Malaysia plans. Australia Council for the Arts spends ₱500 million every year. So there's a there's a huge gap into trying to go to that level to ensure that the arts thrive here. So I think the most basic thing to build on is arts education first.
At this point in time, how possible is it for the arts to be self-funding and self-sustaining in, you know, let's say a decade or two?
Well, I think it goes back to the earlier question that if we have enough audience, we can absolutely sustain ourselves. But we must also understand, I think the arts has different clusters within that category. Under the arts, there's visual arts, there's performing arts, culture, craft, theatre, dance. And under each of that sector, they have their own business modules. We also have to understand whether these sectors fall within the preservation. Is it cultural heritage? We need to preserve that. Is it arts, contemporary arts? Is it commercial arts? If it falls within commercial arts, the shows that you see at Istana Budaya, they are definitely self-sustaining. But when you look into other tangents, for example, they need more focus and review because they cannot sustain on their own.
Looking at that term, business model, it's one that we throw around a lot here, our station being what it is. So do you, in your opinion, looking at the different business models of different artistic clusters or sections, do many artists and the people working with them have sustainable and good business models, or is there perhaps a little bit more room to grow in that respect?
Well, I think that's why GRADE is very important, or a great start. It's an event to gather all sorts of entrepreneurs. It gathers funders and it gathers different government agencies and private stakeholders. For us, for example, I just want to relay a personal experience. When I wanted to be a dancer, there was no future for a dancer like me many, many, many years back. And I, you know, took up a bachelor in accountancy instead and went to do different sort of work and eventually found myself back in the arts. And it's only now that I'm able to do arts full time after 14 years. And it's also because I've been able to review business module and ensure that I can sustain myself, a team of two and now a team of four. And I think business modules for this sectors, this platform GRADE provides that opportunity for us to work together, bounce off ideas, and potentially connect people, because it's really not easy to get access to funders and government agencies, and that's from personal experience. And this is an opportunity for us to be shameless and just say hi to them. And like, you know, Chiawaka here from MOF can help connect us to other peoples we've never met.
Okay, if I may add some points, Lin, I think what's important is that continuous engagement. Mm-hmm. The government is now actually is practicing this mode of engagement with, especially now that entrepreneurship has become into one of the important means of income generating process for the people, mass people. That's why I think GRADE is one of those engagements, because we want to involve as many as possible people who involve in all kinds of businesses, all kinds of activities, especially this performing arts. For me, it's something quite new. Based on our previous engagements with other players in this ecosystem, I think this is the first encounter that we are able to communicate and collaborate with my PAA, especially in this case. Yeah,
that's quite true. If I can just also echo what Chibubwaka is mentioning, yeah. I think it's not, I guess we can't just purely depend on the government to have to do everything. Whilst the government is keen to engage, I think as artists or as industry players, we must also take the time to learn to educate them, and also be open to hearing what they also need, so that there is synergy between two organizations or two different communities.
I'm speaking today to Izan Satrina Mohammed Salahuddin, founder of MyPA, or MyPAA, My Performing Arts Agency, as well as Abubakar bin Haji Jambul, Deputy Director of the National Strategy Unit at the Ministry of Finance. And we're talking about the relationship between entrepreneurship and the performing arts. Coming up, we learn more about GRADE 2014 on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Good afternoon. You are listening to The Bigger Picture. I'm Lee Chui Lin, joined today by Izan Satrina Mohammed Salehuddin, founder of MIPA, My Performing Arts Agency, as well as Abu Bakar bin Haji Jambal, Deputy Director of the National Strategy Unit at the Ministry of Finance. And they're here to talk about the relationship between entrepreneurship and the performing arts in relation to an upcoming event, Great 2014. Now, I want to get to that in just a little bit, but Izan, from your story, that's kind of a unique situation in that you are somebody who's interested in the arts, who's an artist, and who wants to kind of, and who understands the importance of, bridging that gap. I mean, I'm not sure how many former dancers there are out there who are also accountants, but I think they're probably quite rare. Having said that then, how well do you both think non-artists in the government sector can understand the needs of artists and what drives them?
I think that's a very good question. Because we deal a lot with different government agencies and even different private stakeholders. And funny enough, it's not just the government, but also sometimes the private stakeholders that we need to handhold and educate them the different gaps within the arts ecosystem. It's just a different world from what they understand. So we really need to take the time to educate them, but also we must also understand what the government or private partners' KPIs are. So different ministries may have different KPIs. For example, Ministry of Tourism, Arts and Culture, they'll be looking at tourism receipts. Ministry of Finance will probably be looking at revenue and entrepreneurship. So we have to syndicate with different partners to actually address these gaps in the ecosystem. Unfortunately, we don't have an arts council or a central body that takes into account all these things. But the fact that we are making some milestones with different partners is an indication that there is some hope, some light at the end of the tunnel.
On the question how the non-arts view art, I think again it's very important people are well informed on these activities. I think most of us, especially as I'm talking on my personal view, I'm not really well informed of what is actually performing arts. I think I would suggest people who are involved in these activities do more kind of promotion. I think involve more, especially to not only to the people in the city, maybe people out there in the rural area also need to be exposed to this kind of activities, especially that in one way or another can generate some kind of income to those people, especially at the rural areas. That's my opinion. Yeah.
Well, art patronage exists in Malaysia. It isn't widely practiced. Izan, you referenced the need to involve private stakeholders as well. In what ways can the government encourage art patronage, especially in terms of, you know, encouraging private people, private stakeholders to kind of enter the art space?
Well, Cik Waka, I think Ministry of Finance has a tax exemption policy of for each company that supports the arts, they enjoy up to 700,000 ringgit tax exemption. That's quite a bit, but you know, there's a lot of us in the arts industry, and we knock on the same door. So, you know, it'll be great to review that. I mean, like in Singapore, for example, tax exemption is 2.5 times more, meaning that for every 100 ringgit you support the arts, you get 250 ringgit back in return. There's also matching tax exemptions and all sorts. So that's one great start that the Ministry of Finance has rolled out. It's just that the process is unclear.
At this point of time,
and that can be ironed out. That is to encourage private partners, but also I think every other bodies, parents, partners, schools, we all should have a role in encouraging patronage in the arts. As a mother, I always bring my son to music classes and arts classes, but that's my role as a mother. And I think society needs to also play that role. We can't just depend on the government, but that's just my point of view.
Looking at Great 2014, what is happening in conjunction with that event?
Let me take that question first. Maybe later on, Lynn can elaborate on that. General information on GREAT. Basically, it's GREAT, G-R-E-A-T, is an acronym for both in BM and English. In English, we call it Gathering of Rising Entrepreneurs, Act Together, GREAT, G-R-E-A-T. In Bahasa Malaysia, it stands for Gabungan Rakan Entrepreneur Aspirasi Terhebat. So both in English and in Bahasa Malaysia, it reflects how the atmosphere that Ministry of Finance really want to create. I mean, we want to gather all the entrepreneur. This event will run for 4 days. Yeah, will be starting on 17 September to be launched by our honorable Prime Minister. It will go until Saturday. So it's really a venue for all people who involve in entrepreneurship, be it the founder, the participants, of course, and as well as the people who do entrepreneurship, to mingle together, think of how to improve entrepreneurship together in their respective fields. So we would like to encourage people. We would like to welcome people. Whoever listening out there, please come to this event. See for yourself how really the government want to make this event something that is big, something memorable, and something really have something for everybody who wants to participate in the program. Yeah.
And what specifically will be there for people interested in the creative industry and in the performing arts in particular?
Yeah. For the creative industry, there's two programs, one of which we are rolling out under MIPA. It's called Artivate, Activating Creative Entrepreneurship Within You. And it's a 3-day program, 17th, 18th, 19th, that's taking place at GREAT. And in the morning, there are 5 keynote speakers. It's wrapped up by BFM speaker. And in the afternoon, there's a workshop session led by Startup Malaysia that looks into ideation, business model canvas, validation, and pitching of ideas. And every day, it looks into different sectors of the creative industry. On the first day, we're looking at film, radio, TV, music. So Malik, for example, Malik Ali is speaking on that first day. On the second day, we're looking at visual arts, performing arts, culture and craft. We have folks like Idil Putra, who's a famous actor, who's speaking on that day. On Friday, we have literature, publishing, social business, advertising and fashion. So we have folks like Uma and Ezra who are speaking on Friday. So you can expect a lot of things, different experiences, but a very significant workshop in the afternoon. And of course, we have performances every day as well. We have Noh Saleh, Reza Saleh and Jamal Raslan performing on each day.
How much of this, how do you account for the different areas of interest and focus for participants of the workshop? Because, I mean, what you've just described is almost everything.
I know, right?
Within the creative industry. Yeah. So how did you kind of account for all the different diverse people who'd be attending?
Yeah, so we started actually pitching for just purely performing arts, culture and craft. But by the request of the Ministry of Finance, we were asked to look into a wider spectrum of the creative industry, and we benchmarked that against the National Creative Industry Policy that actually looks at cultivating growth within these sectors. And so we've actually compartmentalized them on these 3 days, because that's what we can do for now as a start.
And how much of this program is based on the communication between people like yourself and people who'd like to be creative entrepreneurs?
Well, what we've done is we've linked up with Project Rabak and Rantai Arts, and they are arts collectives that we admire as well, because they have done all arts works without any help from the government. They run on their own, and they have such a huge community. And what we're trying to do is cultivate or leverage on their passion. So with some entrepreneurship skills, they can probably go further. So they are helping us activate communications on ground, and we're reaching out to different schools. MOF has helped provide a support letter so we can actually communicate and get them over as well.
And what kind of message do you think commercially driven entrepreneurs need to have or do to engage, you know, artistically driven would-be entrepreneurs? Is there a way to bridge the gap, or does that gap perhaps not even exist?
Well, I think it certainly exists, because I think artists, not all artists believe in entrepreneurship. I think some artists believe making money is a sin.
And similarly, I think a lot of entrepreneurs do not believe necessarily in the arts. Yeah.
Absolutely. It's a constant debate we have and something I'm sure we will continue to have. But I think the program is there for those who want to learn and who want to learn to turn their passion into a startup. That program is for them, and it's free. So for parents who are listening, or for youth who are listening out there, please go on to mypod.com.my/artivate or gogreat.my, and you can find out details on it. Their meals will be provided, daily transportation will also be provided, so it's just for you to make that commitment to get there.
And what is the main objective of Artivate, you know, as far as the creative industries go? You know, what do you really hope people will be able to take away from these workshops and talks?
Well, it's all about infusing entrepreneurship into their passion. And what we want them to do is actually learn how to segmentize or plan out their projects or their organizations. So be it as a for-profit or not-for-profit entity, you should be able to survive a little bit longer.
Okay. You mentioned parents just now. Who can attend?
Well, youth under the age of 40. So I'm sure if BFM listeners, there are young parents out there or older parents who have children. So 14, 17-year-old, you're welcome to come. Please sign them up.
And where can people go to get more information?
On gogreat.my will be the ultimate website to look at.
Artivate will be happening from September 17th to the 19th at the Malaysian Global Innovation and Creativity Centre on Magic in Cyberjaya. You can sign up at mypa.com.my. That's mypaa.com.my /Artivate, or like Artivate on Facebook. Meals, transportation and entertainment are also thrown in at no cost to the participants. Thank you both so much for joining me today.
Thank you, Lynn.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
I've been speaking to Izan Satrina Muhammad Salehuddin, founder of MyPa, as well as Abu Bakar bin Haji Jambal, Deputy Director of the National Strategy Unit at the Ministry of Finance. We've been talking about the performing arts, entrepreneurship and Artivate on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.